Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every week I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And I also have Friday episodes where I bring you a heart-to-heart, where I share the things that are on my mind, whether that's favorite things, parenting principles I've been thinking about, anything and everything. That's my time to chat with you on Fridays. I want to make sure that you subscribe to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. If you head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you click subscribe, because that way every time a new episode comes out on a Tuesday or a Friday, it will get sent straight to you. And make sure if you're a new subscriber to go back over the archives and see if any of our past guests may have their story resonate with you. We have such wonderful, extraordinary moms who have so bravely, vulnerably, and inspirationally shared their journey of motherhood. And I just can't get over how amazing these women are. And I hope you felt encouraged by each and every one of their stories. So keeping with our Maternal Mental Health Month theme, today I'm going to talk with Lindsay Ayerts. And Lindsay is the host of The Mom Show on KSL News Radio Sundays at noon if you live in Utah. In addition to working in radio, she also is married and has a little girl. And today she's going to talk with us about her journey of motherhood after she had her first daughter. She experienced some postpartum mental health issues that she's going to share with us. And since going through that experience, she's now active in the community and organizes a fundraising and awareness hike each year called Climb Out of the Darkness. These hikes are now happening all across the nation, so you may have heard of one in your area, but it definitely shines a light on postpartum mood disorders and raises awareness for that type of struggle. So I can't wait for you to hear more about Lindsay's journey as a mom and what she's been doing to raise awareness in this area. All right, I would like to welcome to the show Lindsay Ayerts today. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing great. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
I'm in Salt Lake City today.
Awesome. How's the weather? I've been seeing some like random snowstorms and stuff cropping up.
No, it's perfect today.
Oh,
sunny
good.
And 75. Supposed to be 80 for the weekend. So yeah.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, you and I have never met, but my sister-in-law recommended that I get in touch with you because A, you're an extraordinary mom, and B, this whole month on the podcast, I have dedicated to maternal mental health, and we've covered everything from postpartum depression. Later in the month, we're doing PTSD from a traumatic delivery, but then also some self-care things thrown in. And so today you're going to talk with us about your own personal journey with mental health struggles postpartum and the activism side of you that came out, you know, stemming from those that experience. So I'm really excited to chat with you about that.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful to be on and to be talk about this. And I just love that you're covering the different aspects of it, because
yeah.
I think that's my main message. And the thing that most moms don't understand is that there are such a range of symptoms in which postpartum can occur. And outside of the term postpartum depression, I frankly hadn't heard of any of the other mood disorders that
yes.
could happen. And so I was completely blindsided by mine. So yes, I now speak out as much as I can.
Yep. And
so
you're not alone. Yep.
Yeah. Are aware that that can happen. So.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you give a little background on yourself, Lindsay, so the listeners can get to know you, and then we'll jump into your story.
Yeah. So I grew up in Maine, born and raised. And so I'm an East Coast girl at heart, but I came to Salt Lake City in 2002 and went to Utah State University, studied broadcast journalism there, worked at a radio station there, and then made the move to the big city of Salt Lake.
Bigger.
At the time, it was big. Yeah. So made the move down there, worked in radio for more years, met my husband, got married, and have never left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now I'm still working in radio, and my baby girl was born in 2014. Her name's Lucy. She's almost 19 months. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just transitioning to motherhood has been quite a journey.
Yeah. What made you want to get into radio?
To be honest, I had an internship when I was in high school, and I worked sort of like in the promotions department, and I like helped set up for concerts and just like helped the shows do different things, and I just caught the bug, and I've literally never left. I've never done anything else. I don't know how to do anything else. So
yeah, that is so awesome. That is so great. And I mean, it's changed a lot with the on-demand aspects of radio and things like that. And so tell me a little bit about the show that you do right now, The Mom Show.
Yeah, so I host a show here in Salt Lake City. It's on a news talk radio station called KSL, and it's called The Mom Show, and we just launched it at the beginning of this year, and we just talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of motherhood, as I'm sure you do too. Uh-huh. You know, I try to have really real conversations about things that moms don't always want to talk about out loud. Obviously, postpartum is a passion of mine, talking about how to find relief from it and to just normalize the conversation. We talk about, you know, basically anything that I feel like I'm struggling with as a mom, I'll talk about, because I just want other moms to feel like none of us know what we're doing. So we're all just doing this together. So
absolutely. I think we live in a day and age where we can kind of put up this facade that, you know, we have it all together or we figured it out. But then on the inside, a lot of times we're just kind of crumbling, you know? And so, and so is the person sitting next to you at the park, you know? And so that's so sad. We need to bring down those barriers, bring down those walls, be real and vulnerable with each other. And we can really learn from each other and not compare our weaknesses to somebody else's strengths, but instead just celebrate each other and cheer each other on. We're just doing the best we can.
Absolutely. And that is totally the tone I want my show to have, is just, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Let me have the conversations that you don't feel like you know you're what you're doing either. And let's talk about those things. And we shouldn't be judging other people for doing it right or wrong, because there is no right or wrong.
And as soon as you figured out something, it'll change next week. You know, as soon as one thing works with your six-year-old, the next week it will change completely. And you're like, well, now I'm back to square one.
It doesn't work for the next kid. And you're like, what the heck? But it's so refreshing sometimes to even just hear moms say that, like I'm going to start potty training soon. I literally have to Google how to start potty training. I have no idea where to even start. I don't even know the first steps, totally clueless. And so I think just hearing other moms say they don't know how to do things is really refreshing. It was for me, especially as a new mom, and coming to that realization that not all moms knew what they were doing. It took me having a kid to realize that.
Yeah. And I think especially for parents that have accomplished a lot in their life. Like, you've been very successful up to this point professionally. And, you know, if you work hard, you're used to kind of being able to kind of dictate your own outcomes a little bit. But with motherhood, that's just not how it goes. I mean, you can do your very, very best every day and it's not going to go according to plan, and you're not going to have it all figured out. That's
and
hard.
As a professional woman too, I felt like I was always just so good at just handling things.
Yeah.
You know, I just get things done, and I feel so utterly like out of control with the child.
But potty training will literally like bring you to your knees. Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. So
yes. Yeah. Did you know there's actually services where you can hire someone for like $2,500 and they'll potty train your kid in like 3 days or something like that? I think it's very popular in New York.
That might be worth the money to me, because I literally have no idea what I'm doing.
For some kids, I think it totally is, but I'm sure you'll do great.
We'll see. I'll let you know.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Every kid's different. Sure. Well, let's go ahead and jump into your journey. Let's go back to when you first were wanting to start your family. Tell me about deciding, okay, we're ready to start our family, and about that journey and bringing Lucy into the world.
You know, you posed that question to me, and I went back to that time, and I was like, you know, maybe I should have thought through that decision a little bit.
You're never truly ready.
No, you really aren't. And to be honest, it was one of those things like, okay, we've been married, 4 years at the time, and it was like, I guess this is what you do, right?
Then
you have kids. The decision did come, you know, where it was like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those like, all right, I guess kind of going along that advice of you'll never be ready. Like we didn't know how to be ready. We just kind of took the plunge.
So what were you most surprised by when you had your daughter?
I think I'm most surprised by how constant it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I was really prepared for, you know, just how much you have to pay attention all the time. And I sometimes feel like it I sometimes feel almost lazy because I'm just like, this is so hard for me to pay attention all the time. Like, you're just used to not having to, you only pay attention to yourself. You know how you're feeling, you know how you're, how much you ate, you know all these things about yourself, and it's easy. But then when you're trying to figure it out for somebody else and your child who you want to keep healthy and happy and feeling good, you're just like, it's completely overwhelming at times.
Yeah, and especially if you're sick, like if you're sick, you're like, I just want a day off. Like, I would call in sick to work, but I don't get a day off in this.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And so it's really hard to not internalize those times where you don't feel like being a mom and internalize that as I'm a bad mom.
I think that is very understandable feeling across the board. Yeah.
You know, with my radio show, I kind of nitpick a little bit, but also I've become, because of my postpartum issues, almost painfully self-aware of what parts I like and what parts I don't. And I've learned to really be okay with the parts I don't like because I don't have to like them. And I think we'll talk about this later, but the expectations of motherhood, just having those expectations that you would just love it all the time, because that's what you see, right? And that's what you hear. And then when you don't, that juxtaposition can really throw you for a loop.
Yeah. And in any other job that you might assume in your life or your spouse has, there are things in every job that you like and that you don't like. And you're entitled to those feelings. But for motherhood, it is different because you're dealing with human beings. So not enjoying keeping up the house, not enjoying the diapers, not enjoying the potty training. Like, you don't want that to translate into, I don't enjoy my kids.
That's not what you're saying.
Yeah. But in your mind, it's hard. Yeah, you feel defensive about that and you feel guilty about that.
Yeah, and you feel the need to, like, no, like, here's the caveat. I love my child, but I really don't like getting up in the middle of the night. Right. I don't like that.
Yes, and they're worth it, but I wish I could sleep, but I totally get that. I totally get that.
That doesn't mean I don't experience the joys of motherhood, because I experience plenty of those, too. Uh-huh. It just means I'm just a lot more vocal, I think, about the things that I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really real. I think that's really real for sure. So let's talk more about your postpartum issues. So when did you start developing the feelings of anxiety? And like you said before, you didn't necessarily know the breadth of postpartum mental health struggles. And so if you weren't sitting home, crying or feeling sad or not wanting to get out of bed, you didn't think you had depression. So what was it like for you?
Exactly. I had heard those symptoms of postpartum, quote unquote, depression. And what I experienced was I started having the scary thoughts. Mm. I started having thoughts of hurting my baby. Mm. And I started having thoughts of the what if thoughts, like, what if I just do this to her?
Yeah.
What if I just leave her here and drive away,
Yeah.
And those thoughts instantly cause piercing anxiety, because you're like, what kind of mother would have those thoughts? Like, what kind of person? And at the time, I was 3 months postpartum and I was going back to work full time. I was the end of my maternity leave. I was on vacation. So I sort of chalked it up to like, oh, I'm just having anxiety about going back to work. I went back to work, and about 2 weeks after, I just became swallowed in it. The scary thoughts continued. And I think at one point I even asked my husband to take me to the hospital, because I was like, there's something wrong with me. I need morphine. I need something. Like, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I was able to, I called my OB, and it's a whole separate conversation about my journey through my OB care and my the healthcare system, and that's a whole another conversation. But I was able to get a prescription for medication. When I went into the, I saw the nurse, and she said to me, one time when I had my baby, I was just driving over a bridge, and I pictured just driving off the bridge, and I go, that's happening to me. What is happening?
It was you like too.
Towards what I was feeling. And, I couldn't say it out loud, because that would mean I was thinking these horrible thoughts, and like, who would understand these horrible thoughts I was having?
Yeah.
And So when she said that out loud, I knew something was happening to me. So they also recommended me to a therapist. It was a holiday weekend, so I was able to get in to see the therapist within like 2 days. And I took 2 days off work because I was suffering so badly. I couldn't focus. I couldn't function. I was scared to be alone with my baby because I was just having these really intrusive thoughts. And, you know, I didn't know what they were. So I thought, you know, what if I'm capable of these actions? Like, what if I'm going to become the mom that I see in the news, in the headlines? Like, what if I'm going, what if I'm this person? And so I was able to get in to see a therapist, and I saw her once a week for a few months. And she was able to really stop the bleeding for me, so to speak. You know, once I could identify what those scary thoughts were and how they were sort of a manifestation of underlying fears and worries and stresses, then I was able to really find relief. And so I love the mental health aspect of it, you know, just being able to really delve into, and I'd never been to therapy before. I never had mental health issues before. And so all of this world, how the brain worked and how your thoughts worked and how they're attached to emotions was so out of my element, but became fascinating to me, you know, because I was just entrenched in this world. So I would say therapy. I did end up going on medication after fighting the stigma for a little while, because I admittedly just, I didn't want to go on it. I didn't know what it was going to do, and I was scared to take it. So I delayed that for a little while. And then also I found a book from an author named Karen Kleiman, and she works, I believe, with Postpartum Stress International. And the book is called Dropping the Baby and Other Scary Thoughts. And that book literally became my Bible. And I carried it with me like a security blanket everywhere I went, to work, home. And every time I got a wave of anxiety, I would flip open that book and just start reading, try to read something that would help calm my fears, mainly stemming from these scary thoughts that made me feel like I was capable of these actions that the thoughts were telling me. And so I learned what the thoughts were. I learned how to identify them. I learned how to say them out loud, which is really hard.
Is that important? Is that important to say that out loud?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because what it does is it gives them, it takes away their power.
Okay.
When you keep them in your head, you know, if I say to you, don't think about a pink elephant, what are you thinking about right now?
Exactly.
So what it does is it allows you to detach your emotion from the thought. And I even had a code word with my husband and my mom. The code word was elephant, and I would text them elephant. And that means that that meant that I had a scary thought and I needed them to call me and ask me about it, because I couldn't always like admit that I had another one, you know, because after a while it's like, okay, we get it. You're having these, you know? So that support system was so incredibly helpful for me. And then, just learning about them. And you know, I tried to suppress them, which doesn't help. Again, it just buries them deeper. And then just, I was really able to peel back the layers on what was my actual fear at the time of the scary thought. So for example, if I was having a scary thought, I would make sure my baby was safe, which she was. You know, I had other people around me a lot of time just for my own comfort, not because I was close to ever doing anything, but just because it made me more comfortable and it gave me relief. And so I could say, okay, I was really thinking about sleep. Like, what if I can't get her to sleep? And if she doesn't sleep, she's going to have, you know, increased adrenaline. And if she has too much adrenaline, then she's going to have ADD when she's older. And if she has ADD, that's my fault. And what if I'm such a bad mom? See how I got from point A to point B really quickly without even really noticing that it had happened?
Yes.
So I was able to really go backwards in that thought process and really identify each layer of thoughts that I was having in order to get to the root of what was causing that fear.
Yeah. I can see how that'd be really helpful Because if you're just relying on the emotional aspect that you're feeling at that moment, there's no map to get out of it. So I can see how paring it down and unpeeling it would really help to address it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then once I got to some of those bottom layers of what the root fears and anxieties were, I could see my situation under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. So my umbrella was kind of overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with the thought of caring for a new baby. Mm. Like, I literally did not know how to care for a human that I thought instinctively would kick in as a woman, as, you know, a woman who just had a baby. You know, you hear about that motherly instinct and you think it's going to kick in for you. And I was so terrified that I was going to miss something that was going to be my fault and could potentially really harm my child, either physically or even at my own hand. Right. You know, I was so terrified of all those things. I was completely and utterly overwhelmed. So once I could kind of see the umbrella of that overwhelm, then it was sort of like all the other things fell underneath that.
Right.
And I was able to sort of find relief through that.
Wow. That is exhausting. That is an exhausting way to live your days. And I mean, in addition to your body healing, adjusting to parenting under normal circumstances, to have that added pressure and that added fatigue from your mental wheels just spinning, and you feeling like you're just at the mercy of those thoughts, that is going to take you down fast.
Yeah, it was really, really difficult. And that was a lot of it too. You know, you're exhausted from being up with the baby. You're exhausted from the days. And obviously sleep deprivation does not help any of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a symptom of it, but all other times it's an effect of it. You're just spinning in your own thoughts, and the mental health piece, the therapy piece, really helped me get to the bottom of what I was suffering with. So,
and there's a lot of options, you know. And so, if you're feeling like just not yourself, it's not necessarily that you have to be medicated or that you have to do therapy, but it's important to explore, okay, with your doctor that you trust. This is how I'm feeling. This is how my days are going. This is not me. What are my options, and how do you think I'm going to be able to feel like myself again?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of moms sometimes feel hopeless when they get in this situation. They feel like there's no way out. And I know I certainly felt that way, where you're in the thick of it. You don't know how long it's going to last. You just want a magic pill to take it all away. Mm-hmm. And you start to feel trapped. And so I can understand where that trapped feeling comes from. And that's why you hear a lot about postpartum suicides, because when mothers are feeling like there's no way out. And so although I never got to that point where I was feeling so trapped there was no way out, I can understand that feeling. And I want mothers to know that there is always a way out. There are always options. It's sometimes trial and error. A lot of the medication is trial and error. And I was so lucky that I found one that worked for me relatively quickly. And I was so lucky that therapy helped me so much. And, you know, I think that's one message I would like other mothers to know too, is that postpartum issues are 100% treatable, and they respond well to treatment.
Right.
And so when I was in the thick of it, you know, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I could gear up for the fight if I knew how long the fight was going to be.
Right.
But those endless days of just thinking, is this my life now?
Right. When you're in the thick of it, you can't see your way out. And that's when you really have to trust other people to say, like, this will get better. Like, you may not feel like this is going to get better. Please trust me. Please trust me. Because it's when you start to feel hopeless and you don't see way out that's where it gets really scary. And I lost a friend to suicide a year ago from this. And it's awful. And it's good mothers who are just ravaged by these thoughts and these hormones and these chemicals, and it's not them. It's not you. It's not you. And so for anybody listening who feels ashamed or feels embarrassed by these thoughts. Like you said, like your thoughts were like, what mother would say these things? Like, you can't say that out loud. How embarrassing. Yeah. Or how, are they going to take my child away if I admit that, you know, whatever it is. So I think it is imperative that we have a safe place to be able to be honest. And you have to seek help. You have to.
And I think a lot in terms now of having another child because.
Yeah. Are you afraid to have another child?
Oh, absolutely. My decision to have another child is not like, okay, let's have another child.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sometimes jealous, envious of other mothers who just get to have another baby and it's like all happy and they get to experience the joy that should come when you have a baby. But I have to think about how I'm at an increased risk for postpartum issues. And I think that one of the things I will do to prepare myself is while I am feeling well, while I have healed from my postpartum mood disorder, I will write down some of the balance statements is sort of what they're called. I will write down the statements that carried enough weight for me to internalize them. Mm. So things like, you know, like the anxiety that you're feeling is actually a good thing because anxiety lets you know that you know the difference between right and wrong. Mm. Because you're feeling scared of those thoughts. And that's actually a good sign when you're feeling detached from the thoughts and feeling like someone is telling you to do something, that's a whole nother illness.
Interesting. I see that.
It's actually postpartum psychosis and that needs treatment right away and immediately. And so writing those things down right now while I'm, you know, feeling mentally strong. And now that I can sort of see the big picture of the postpartum episode, to write down things that caused me anxiety last time, statements that carry enough weight that I will internalize them. Because a lot of the times when you're having anxiety, you're spinning in your what ifs, you know, like, what if this happens? What if this happens? But what if this? What if this? And it's just an endless list of what ifs. And some of those what ifs are minor and some of them are more like severe. Like, what if my child dies? That's a huge thing to worry about. That is a huge fear that I'm sure every mother has. But it was something for me that it was like, I can't even cope right now because what if she dies? Like, I can't even get attached to her because what if I lose her? I wouldn't be able to cope.
Wow.
You know? So I had to figure out, like basically a statement that, you know, was going to carry enough weight that it negated that fact that I could function with that knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for me, this statement was, okay, heaven forbid, if Lucy was going to pass away, it's going to happen whether or not I worry about it or not. Heaven forbid, you know?
Right.
And it feels hard to even talk about out loud.
Right.
But
I see what you're saying. It takes you out of that place of absolutely a tailspin.
Yeah.
And like, kind of rationalizes it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You need to find something that gives it enough weight that it doesn't feel irrational anymore. It's like, oh, okay, here's how I can calm that.
Yeah. I think it is so critical for people to hear an episode like this, not only for the listeners who may be battling some of these symptoms right now and listening, thinking, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I, like you and the nurse saying, that is how I feel. That is exactly it. So it's for those moms that feel like they might be suffering from some kind of mental health issue, but it's also for the moms that may never have struggled, but they need to know about this because guaranteed there are friends among them who are going through it. And unless you hear somebody being brutally honest like you are and being so willing to share, like, listen to this. Like, can you imagine if your friend was going through this? Like, they need help. They need you. So in addition to being an extraordinary mom, you want to be an extraordinary friend to those people and to be there for them and say, how are you feeling? How are you eating? How are you sleeping? You know, asking those critical questions and being able to help catch those people who may be falling faster than you even realize.
Well, and one of the main ways I found relief in the very early days of starting to suffer was from a website called Postpartum Progress. Mm. And how I found that was I literally Googled my symptoms, because all I could do was type into Google what I was feeling because I couldn't say them out loud. Mm. So I literally Googled my symptoms, and I think I Googled, does having scary thoughts mean I'll act on them? And a post wow. came up. From wow. Postpartum Progress, mm-hmm. and it literally described that, no, that was not the case. Yeah. Having the thoughts does not mean you'll act on them. They are simply thoughts.
Yeah.
And it quoted that book, Dropping the Baby and Other Scary Thoughts. But when I found that post, it was like, that is happening yeah. to me. And just giving this a name for so many moms brings so much relief.
Yes.
Just that they can say, oh, this is happening to me. This is not who I am.
Yes.
Really helps them say, okay, I have an illness. Let me seek treatment for this yes. illness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that is a huge point, Lindsay. So how long was it before you felt, this was about 3 months postpartum that you started feeling these symptoms. How long before you felt like yourself again?
Well, that's a tricky question, because I remember being in the thick of it and saying, I want someone to tell me how long this is going to last.
Right.
I would, and if there are moms listening who are suffering, I want to give them hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I would say the real suffering, the real bleeding lasted about a month and a half.
Uh-huh.
Where I
it takes
really,
a while for medicine to kick in.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It takes 2 to 3 weeks for medicine to kick in. You know, I went to therapy once a week. I had my mom fly out from Maine and basically live with us for a month and a half. And I was so blessed to have her be able to be there for me.
Yeah.
The medication did start working, and I could feel it kind of like take the edge off a little bit of the anxiety. It just kind of, it just kind of numbed things a little bit for good and for bad. You know, it numbs the highs and it numbs the lows. So you kind of just stay a little bit even keel. And again, it does depend on your dosage. I was on a really small dose, a really baby dose, which worked just fine for me, enough to just help me find the relief, slow down the thoughts. That's how I kind of describe it.
Yeah.
It slows down the reaction time so you can actually process what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I really ended up liking that medication. So, finding that and then finding that post from Postpartum Progress and really just then diving into that book, discovering what the thoughts were, why they were happening, what they meant, all of that really helped me find relief.
Yeah, knowledge is power. And I think when you're in that limbo phase where you're just isolated. I mean, you probably, there's people out there that don't even want to tell their spouse. They don't want yeah. to tell anybody. And so to live in that day in and day out and to not only not seek outside medical help, but to not even tell your close circle because you don't want to be a burden or you don't understand it or whatever it is, you know, it's my heart breaks for them. My heart absolutely breaks for them. And so I hope that people can find at least somebody they can confide in, and that person can be the voice of reason to, yeah. you know, prompt them to do something in the positive direction.
Yeah. And I think I would advise moms, you know, the first step just being call your OB.
Uh-huh.
They know, you know, regardless of my feelings on how they're, I feel like there's a gap in the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
Call your OB. They are experienced in these issues. They will know how to, at least how to get you in the first step. And if they don't, if you don't feel like they're hearing you, or you don't, or they just prescribe you medication and send you on your way and you don't feel like that's enough, go back.
Yeah.
Follow up. Know enough to say, I'm still not okay. Somebody help me. Because
right.
oftentimes OBs have a lot, they're very focused on the care of you and your baby. And once the baby's born, we have that 6-week checkup, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I started suffering 3 months postpartum.
Right.
I was already past the 6-week checkup.
Yes,
you know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
If I had gone in there myself, nobody would have followed up with me to see how I was doing. And frankly, there just isn't a doctor who does that, because the OBs are trained to care for you, you know, after that baby's born, and then that's about it.
Right.
So I'm really hoping for systematic change within the healthcare system to have a system in place for moms who go to their OBs and say, help me. And the OBs then say, okay, perfect. Here's the place we send moms who are suffering, or here's the therapist we send them to. And that therapist and I will be in communication.
Right.
And, you know, obviously it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's my hope, is to affect some real change there.
I love that. I love that. Let's just get into, now that you've gone through this and you've realized what a big issue this is, both for you and, I mean, I'm sure you've come in contact with a lot of people who are just like you, moms that have struggled through this. You are involved with the Climb Out of Darkness awareness campaign. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So after I healed and found Postpartum Progress, I sort of became, for lack of a better term, an ambassador for them, where I signed up to host a climb here in Salt Lake City, and they do it respectively in cities all across the country and worldwide. They have lots of cities outside the U.S. that are participating this year. Mm-hmm. But what it is we hike or walk or climb to shine as much light as we can and symbolize the climb out of postpartum issues. Because like we discussed before, it's not a magic pill that can take it all away. It is a climb out of the darkness into hope and healing. And there's always hope available. So I'm leading the climb here in Salt Lake City. And we're hiking on June 18th. It's the longest day of the year. And the goal, well, it's closest to the longest day of the year. It's a Saturday. And the goal is to shine as much light as we can on maternal mental health. And so that's sort of what that symbolizes. And yeah, we're going to hike a mountain here in Salt Lake and try to just raise awareness, try to normalize this conversation.
And how has that involvement, what has that meant to you? And how's that helped you?
Well, it's been therapeutic in some ways and stressful in other ways. You know, this is my second year doing it. And so this year I'm a lot farther removed from my postpartum experience. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's hard to go back to that place where you suffered for so long. You kind of want to turn a corner and move past it. But at the same time, you know, I am so passionate about just informing other mothers that, there are multiple mood disorders that can happen postpartum, not just depression, that it's meant a lot for me to be able to organize this hike. And literally just from handing out flyers, just that spreads awareness about that. You know, so whether you suffered from depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD, psychosis, all of these postpartum mood disorders, you know, they kind of get lumped into one category.
Right.
And so I really want to spread that message that there's a lot that can happen postpartum. And doing the climb is basically just one way I'm able to do that.
I love that. I think that's so great, and that you've been able to turn something that was so challenging for you and really seek to help others through that and raise awareness and promote to normalize that conversation.
Yeah, well, I just felt so blindsided by it because, I mean, I guess it's my own fault that I wasn't aware that these things could happen. But because I felt so blindsided by it, I have made it a mission to help other moms not be so blindsided. And I have mothers, and I have a lot of friends who come to me and say, I think my friend or my sister or my wife is suffering. What can I do for them? I have a lot of people that reach out to me just because they've been so outspoken about it and want to help their people. And so if by just talking about it, it's helped one other person just find a sliver of relief, then it's all been worth it.
Absolutely. So what are some of those things that people did or said that kind of helped you through, or things you've heard since that have helped other people?
Well, oftentimes I refer them to Postpartum Progress because what I love about that website is it puts it in plain mama English for you.
Yeah.
It just tells you straight up what's happening. Like, are you feeling like you're sad all the time? Are you feeling like you're having thoughts that scare you? You know, they say it in a way that doesn't make you feel like you're going crazy. And I think that was the biggest The biggest thing that both my therapist, my husband, and my mom all did is not one of them ever made me feel like they were scared for me to be with my baby.
Mm.
I think that's the one thing you can do as someone who's a friend or a loved one of someone suffering is just ask them how they're feeling. Don't make them feel like there's something wrong with them.
Right.
But just ask them and validate their feelings. If you, you know, condemn them for the way they're feeling or tell them they're silly for feeling that way or telling them, don't worry or go outside, just get more sunshine or just pray more or just do this more. It's a whole lot bigger than that conversation. So, yeah. Just validate their feelings wherever possible, even if you think they're silly or even if you think they're being ridiculous.
And even if you don't understand, if you haven't been through it, it's super hard to understand anything else that somebody that you've never been through. That's really hard. And so when somebody's saying things that you just legitimately do not understand and you haven't had those thoughts, you can still hug them and say, I'm so sorry. What can I do?
Yeah.
You can still do that for somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even advise people, you know, like ask them why they think they're feeling this way.
Mm.
You know, the simple like following through on a question can really help them open up and create a safe space for them to tell you some of these things, because these are thoughts that the mom is having that are so closely held to her. She's not going to open up to you unless you've created a safe space for her to do that.
Absolutely.
And if you love this woman that's in your life, hopefully you'll be able to do that. But, I don't feel qualified to help people in any sort of mental health capacity, but I can share my experience with them and I can tell them how I was thinking and how I got out of it. And so that's kind of what I try to do to help people.
Yeah. And that can be an invaluable resource to people. So do not underestimate the power of your story. 100%.
Yeah. Well, just having other moms know that someone else has been through it is also very validating.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Postpartum Progress and then the Dropping the Baby and Other Scary Thoughts book. Are there any other resources that are important? Maybe tell me if people are in the Salt Lake area and they want to participate in the climb, can you give me that information?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to climboutslc.com, that is our climb website, and that has information for other climbs that we're doing here in Utah. There's actually one in Ogden, in Provo, in Salem, and then mine in Salt Lake. So there's four.
And that's in June, right?
June 18th. Yep. We're all doing it on the same day, but if you live in those different areas, you can participate in your local one. Obviously I want you to come to the Salt Lake one, but, and then, I know a wonderful therapy center called the Healing Group that does free postpartum depression, group meetings on Wednesdays. And so if you just Google the Healing Group, I know they have resources for low-income families as well. If you don't have insurance, you know, that's always an issue too. If you're trying to get medication or if you're trying to see a therapist or something, that's one of the barriers to women coming forward and speaking up is because they don't have the resources to get help.
Right.
So give the Healing Group a quick Google. If you can get in to see a mental health professional of any kind, I think that is a great start. And there's a stigma around doing that too, right? Is calling a therapist because you need help. A lot of people are like, nope, I should be able to do this on my own. I am like such a huge proponent of therapy. I still go because I love it. I love becoming self-aware, you know, and discovering those things about myself that it's like, oh, that's why I do that thing. Like, oh, I get it now. That makes sense.
Right. So, yeah. And it's not just overcoming the demons in your head. It's about becoming a better person and being more self-aware, like you said.
Yeah. And sometimes just getting a little booster shot of therapy can help you really get to the bottom of some things that you don't even realize you're, you know, dealing with.
So, I like that. That's great. That's great advice. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know that that is going to hit home with a lot of people that might be struggling or have struggled in the past. And it's really important if you're pregnant right now to be aware of what could happen and not to scare anybody, you know, prematurely or anything. But the more you know, the more you can catch this thing and then get help.
And I don't think, you know, looking back now, I can see kind of some of the red flags and anxieties that popped up during my pregnancy.
Yeah, okay.
And pregnancy depression is actually a real condition. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling depressed already or anxious and you're pregnant, definitely seek help because that can make you at an increased risk for postpartum issues.
Yeah.
but yeah, it can definitely start in pregnancy, and that is a great time to really catch things. It doesn't mean you won't suffer, but you can catch it early. And early detection and knowing that this illness is treatable and responds well to treatment can bring women a lot of relief.
So. Yeah, and a lot of hope. A lot of hope. So what is next for you, Lindsay? So you have the climb coming up in June. What else is up for you this year?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. that's part of my problem. I don't think past today. I don't know what I'm doing. no, I'm continuing to host the Mom Show, which, again, is on KSL News Radio. And I'm just going to keep working on that. It's a once-a-week show, and it allows me to literally have these conversations on the radio.
I love that. That is so awesome.
And be able to just, you know, again, talk about things that moms don't always like to admit that are happening. And such a rosy picture is often painted of motherhood on social media and even in headlines. You know, you see headlines like Chrissy Teigen stuns in post-baby body. And I'm like, I didn't have Chrissy Teigen's body before I had a baby, let alone after. So we've just created this unrealistic ideal for mothers. And I'm really glad to be able to kind of break down some of those walls and be able to help moms that way. And hopefully I'm doing a good job of that. But we'll just keep talking and then hosting the climb. And maybe I'll get around to having a second kid here sometime in life.
Oh, man. And again, even if you've had one, you never feel ready for your next one. You're like, okay, we kind of have our normal. Do we dare risk it with another one, you know?
It's finally settled down. It finally feels like I got a handle on this thing.
Right.
And now I'm going to throw it all into a tailspin again.
Yeah.
You know, why don't I do
that? Oh, man. Oh, you're awesome. You're awesome. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
In terms of postpartum, I would tell her, if you ever have a thought that scares you, don't panic. Just call your OB.
Yeah.
So that's what I would tell my postpartum self. As far as my general self, I would tell her that it's okay. It's okay to feel like you don't know what you're doing. It's okay to feel like you don't feel good at it. It's okay to feel like you're shooting in the dark. Mm-hmm. You're doing better than you think you are. Mm-hmm. And people always see you differently than you see yourself. So rely on those people to see what's actually happening.
And you don't have to be a perfect mom to be an extraordinary one. And when you think of what you do on a daily basis, 24/7 nonstop to care for this life that you brought into the world, that is extraordinary. That's an extraordinary undertaking. And so we need to give ourselves more credit for the job that we're all doing, even if we feel less than perfect at it.
Yep. Give yourself some credit. We're all going to screw it up somehow.
but even when we screw it up, we're not, it doesn't mean we're screwing up our kids.
No.
Yeah.
No. And at the end of the day, again, there is no right or wrong way to do it. So you can't really do it wrong. If there's no right or wrong way to do it, you can't do it wrong.
Yeah.
So just do the best you can and try to give yourself a break and take care of yourself.
I love that. That's perfect. That's a great ending. Thank you so much for being on the show, Lindsay. Your message was so powerful, and I hope that it will touch a lot of the listeners today and really help them and inspire them and give them hope going forward.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Well, have a great day and good luck with the climb.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank Lindsay again for being on the show today. That was such a great, honest conversation. And I know that some of the stuff we talked about was really hard and really heavy. But if you are somebody that needed to hear that today, I hope that it resonated with you and that you felt some camaraderie with someone who has been through it and has gotten through to the other side of it and that can offer you some hope. So thanks for tuning in to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'll see you on Friday for another Friday Heart to Heart. Have a great week, everybody.